This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Our theme for this year is the Bible. We've called it the Good Book, the Bible. And all together we are reading all the way through the whole book, day by day by day. And in our small groups during the middle of the week, we're reflecting on what we've been reading in the previous week and thinking about some of the questions and getting into it over the course of the year. If you just joined or you haven't yet caught on or you've just started coming along and you want to join in, just dive in. There's lots of information on the website. Ask the people around you. They'll point you to the app that we're using and the websites that we're drawing information from. We can do printouts if you don't have access to the internet. Just dive in. You don't have to start at Genesis 1. Dive in where we are at the moment. If you're on Facebook, Mark Eden's posting every now and again a good point at which to start, where there's a natural break, and you can join in there. Just get stuck in. Keep reading. Why are we doing that? We're doing it because Jesus loved the Scriptures, and we want to do what Jesus did. We're structuring this year so that you will learn more about the Bible as you read the Bible. So by the end of the year, you'll know a ton more than you do now. And we're building that in as we go along. Don't expect to be fully informed. Well, even by the end of the year, there's a lot more to be said. But don't worry if it's a puzzle to you at this moment. We are going to be investing in teaching and training on it as we go along. And our goal is that by the end of the year, you won't just understand more, you won't just obey more, but that you may be saved more and become more. It's a life thing. The Bible is one unified story that leads us to Jesus and to salvation through him. And I want to reflect on that a bit this morning. A few weeks ago, I was looking at 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, and reflecting on the way the Bible can teach us and reveal God to us, the way it can shape us, the way it can equip us to live well. A couple of weeks ago, Liz was speaking about the creation story and how that shows us that God is good and that we're invited to partner with him in creation, but that we have to make a choice and respond to his love. And then last week, Tim Bucock, the minister at the Methodist Church that meets here, he challenged us about the commandments, didn't he, and idolatry, and that was a powerful message he brought to us. If you're up with the plan, you're currently in the middle of Leviticus. How's that going? Yeah. Yes. It's interesting, isn't it? Unusual stuff. You wouldn't normally find yourself reading that type of literature. Keep going. Keep reading. Extraordinary detailed instructions about ordering life and worship. As you're reading it, ask yourself the question, why is that there? And how does that lead us to Jesus? That's the question to keep asking. My theme for today is sitting in the library. Sitting in the library. This is a picture of Leeds City Library. Did you know last year it was this two? You know, can you see that? Probably not. These lights are so bright. It's 250 years old last year, Leeds City Library. If you can't see, there's two balconies down the side and across the back with books all the way around the side, and then underneath there's lots of books, and then there's places to sit and study in the middle and chairs and tables and things. Man walks into a library. He says, have you got a book on the laws of probability? Librarian says, there might be one over there. Right? Get it? Mathematicians? Okay. Another man walks into the library and he asks for a book about coincidences. And the librarian says, funny you should say that. One's just arrived. Another man walks into the library and the librarian cuts off the bottom of his trousers and puts them in the book and gives it to him. And he says, oh, well, that's a turn up for the books. It's good, isn't it? I'm not impressed by our local library. It's only got one story. You could take part in this one. A man goes into the library and he says, have you got a book on pantomimes? And the librarian says, no, he didn't. He said, it's behind you. Somebody else walks into the library and he says, have you got a book about cliffhangers? And the librarian says, Yeah. Our theme for the year is the good book, but it's actually not a book. It's a library. And I want to make 2 points this morning. One is that this is library is a unified story, even though it is a library. And that changes the way you read it. It's a library, but it's a unified story that leads to Jesus. We haven't got long, so I'm just going to cover it quickly, and we'll probably come back to it. We must seek out Jesus as we read these books. They will introduce us to the Word, capital W, the Word. And he will bring meaning and power to change us and give us eternal life. Not the book, but Jesus will. We're going to come to the question, just a rabbit trail on the side for a moment. There is a discussion about whether the Bible is God-inspired, wholly God-inspired. The people writing it were just sort of in a trance, and the ink came out of the pen, and it just appeared on the page in a sort of magical way. There's that end of the extreme, and at the other end of the extreme is that there were people who were just who believed in God and who were wise people, and they wrote good thoughts down. And you have to ask yourself, at which end of the, where on that spectrum do you think the Bible is? It's quite a big question. We'll address that. We're not going to do that today, but we will address that. But suffice to say that you need to hold those two in tension. It's inspired by God and it's written by men. Would you like to turn to John chapter 5, and we'll see what Jesus says about this. John chapter 5. In terms of what a Bible is, it's this is a biography about Jesus. It's about 80%, 85% of the way through the book, if you've got the whole book. And we're going to read quite a long bit from verse 31 through to the end. John chapter 5, verse 31 through to the end. So Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. These are the religious people, the ones who go to church a lot. And he's been doing some amazing miracles, and they are questioning his authority. They're not believing in him, Jesus, despite what he's demonstrating. And so he says to them, they're asking him, who are you? Who do you think you are? And he says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. And as you'll read in a few weeks' time, when you get through to, I think it's Deuteronomy and Numbers, the Old Testament law says that if you're going to take witness against somebody, there has to be at least two people. And Jesus is referring back to that regulation. There is another who does testify in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. He's referring to God, God the Father. You have sent to John the Baptist, and he has testified to the truth. Yes, John has, he says. John, his cousin. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. Even the testimony of John is enough to get you to me. John was a lamp. That's past tense, so he may have been dead by then. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have a testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, he's just healed the paralytic, he's fed the 5,000, all these things, they testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. Do you remember the dove coming down at baptism? And in the words of Scripture, lots of ways that the Father has testified. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form. Nor does his word dwell in you. That's so offensive. Talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees would probably have known the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, probably off by heart, as did Jesus. So there was a bunch of people who really knew this really well, and he says, his word does not dwell in you. Why? Because you do not believe the one he sent. Now listen to this. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. You're quite happy with following celebrity, but not the king, not me. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses. They believe Moses wrote the first five books. And they believe that they set their hopes on him. And he's saying, Moses is accusing you. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Let's think about libraries and bookshops. What sections might you have in a library? Pardon? Crime. Fiction. Sometimes those go together. Yes. History. Biographies. Somebody in the balcony. Poetry. Okay. Lots of different sorts. Genres of information and books. And the Bible is like that. 66 different books, different genres, written by in three different languages, Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek, over many centuries, in lots of different genres. Just in your Bibles, go to the left as far as you can, where it says the contents page. See if you can get to the contents page. Now, one thing you'll notice when you look through the contents page in the Bible is that a lot of you have got these names. My sons are called Joshua and Samuel. Are there any Ruth? Is there a Ruth? Yes, there's a Ruth. Have we got an Esther? I'm sure. I bet you know somebody called Esther. Have you got somebody called Daniel? Have we got Daniel? Yeah, I've seen Daniel. Yeah, there you go. There's two Daniels. Joel? Have we got a Joel? Yeah, is he here? No, he's... Have we got a Matthew, a Mark, a Luke, a John? There you go. Have we got Jude? That's not an uncommon name. Have we got a Leviticus? Oh, no, okay. What have we got here? You see, all these books, they were collected as separate scrolls. These are the scrolls. This is what they would have looked like. Well, these are a bit posh. They would have been a bit rougher than these. For each of these. And they would have been stood in storage places in different parts of the Palestine over different centuries. And they've been collated together now. And in a Jewish synagogue, you'll see them presented like this. Okay? All stacked up. And so you say, right, I want to go for poetry today. And you go and get the scroll that's got the poetry in. Psalms, or whatever. It's only later, 400 or 500 years after Jesus, that they collected them together, and they threw out the ones that they didn't think were scripture, and they kept the ones that did, and they ended up as one pile of manuscripts like that, and then they put them into a book like the book you've got in your hand. But it's a library. Can you see how it is a library? Where are the biographies? That's a section in Waterstones. Where's the biographies? It's not a trick question. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yes. Where's correspondence and letters? Most of the rest of the New Testament, yeah. Where's history? Kings, Chronicles, there's some history in there, yeah, Nehemiah. Where's Revelation, sort of prophetic, inspirational literature? Yeah. There's a clue in the name, yeah. Do you see there's different types? And some of the Bible is what we call indicative. It tells you who you are. And some of it is imperative. It tells you what to do. But different parts. It's important that when we go to the Bible, we understand what we are reading and what we're not reading. What we're not reading. So Oh, I left it upstairs. I've got my mobile phone, okay? I organize my phone like this. Alison doesn't. She's different. It's one of my questions in life. But I've got folders on my home page, on my second page, which is... So I've got one which is pictures, and in there I've got photographs and the camera and things. I've got one which is news. So I've got my news feeds, BBC Sport, Huffington Post, etc., Yahoo... is great for finance if you want finance information. Yahoo is good for that. Shopping, don't go there. Vineyard, I've got the link for the Bible reading. I've got the websites for the different parts of Vineyard. I've got some other resources in there. Travel, that's where I book my train tickets, check out flights, see when the bus is coming. Finance, Bible ones, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure many of you got similar ones. So if I want to look at my bank balance, I don't go to the news folder. Okay? If I want the torch app because I'm in my cellar trying to find something, I don't look in the Bible folder. If I want to stay in credit, I don't go anywhere near the shopping folder. Okay? Do you get the picture? I need to know where I'm going for what I'm looking for. It's an incomplete analogy because all those apps are there to help me. They're to sort me out, and it's about helping me in my life and trying to get myself organized. Another way of looking at it is if you're a reader, you'll have different sorts of books. So in my house, in my car, I've got in the glove box, I've got a car manual. So when something doesn't work, I look out, where's the light switch? How do I get out of here? I've locked myself in. You know, information about that. If I want to get up to date with news, I have newspapers and magazines, and those are usually in the lounge beside my chair. And I sit in the chair, and I put the light on, and I read the news, okay? And it's a real treat to get to do that, and usually in the evening. I've got some books of poetry which are beside my bed. I read those before I go to sleep, when I can. I have some novels. I love reading novels and biographies and things. And those are usually in my bedroom, and I read them before I go to bed. But I also carry them around with me a lot. So they're often in my bag just in case I get stuck somewhere and I haven't got something to read, which for me would be a terrible, terrible place to be. I've got lots of textbooks, and they're in my study. So during the day, I will be in my study reading my textbooks. I've got a place in the house I sit where I do my devotions, and I have the particular books I use for that there. Do you see what I mean? There are some cookbooks in our house. I don't go anywhere near those for health and safety reasons. But Alison does. They're all in the kitchen. And if I were to have a go at this thing called cooking and put my family's life in danger, that's where I would go. To the kitchen, and I'd bring out what's his name? Jamie. Do you see what I mean? Where are you going to go to read what you want to read at a particular point? Let's go back to the library. So you're going into the library. I don't know if you can see it. It's not a very good picture. And you've noticed that as you walk in, there's a sign outside, and it says, The Jesus Library. That's a strange name for a library. And you walk in, and you sit down in the middle, and there's a swivel chair, and you swivel around, and you look at all the different sections of this library, this Jesus library, the poetry and the history and all the different things, the biographies. And they're all, as you look at them, books that talk about Jesus. See, I want to go there to find out how to manage my time. How do I handle my money? How do I get a date? Does the Bible help me with that? Or now that I'm married... Does the Bible tell me what my wife is thinking? Because it's a puzzle to me. Or how does evolution fit into the Big Bang Theory? These things worry me. I mean, this library is brilliant, but I'm struggling with these answers, getting these answers to my questions. It's not helping me with my difficulties dealing with porn or sexuality or my anger or whatever it is I'm struggling with or Brexit. And I'm sitting there in my chair, twirling around, thinking. And then I find there's somebody sitting next to me, and it's Jesus. And he's got himself a flat white, and he's having a look at the same books. And I say, what's this about, Jesus? All this stuff. And he says, John 5, go back to your Bibles. He says this in John chapter 5. He says, verse Verse 37, he says, "The Father who sent me himself testified concerning me. You, David, have never heard his voice nor seen his form. Nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent." He says, you're studying these books, the scriptures, a lot. You've got a study full of textbooks. Because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures, and he's pointing around the library, and he says, that testify about me. And yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Ouch. I want to wind up because I want you to meet the guys who went to the National Leaders Conference. But so what's he saying, sitting in this library next to me with his flat white and me with my Americana? He's saying, these books that make up this library, these books, read them carefully, he says, and be aware of what you're reading, but they don't contain life. This isn't your formula for knowing that you're right and somebody else is wrong. He says, they lead you to the fountain and the source of life. Me, he says. Until you know me, you'll be like someone who knows the highway code but's never driven a car. This is not just information. It's not just to prove you're right and somebody else is wrong. They lead you to me. Read the Bible, he says, but read it in search of me. Otherwise, you'll find these books to be hard work, difficult to understand and follow. You'll take on the characteristics of the Pharisees that I'm talking to, legalistic and boring and struggling, and you'll be a colorless Christian. But if you're looking for me, these books are great. They'll help you because deep, deep down they're about me. And if you read them to learn about me, to hear my voice, to be inspired by me, to be confronted by me, to be disciplined by me, challenged by me, to know my love for you and my better purposes for your life, then you'll find them to be inspired. Then you'll fall on your knees in repentance and worship. Then you'll find redemption. And together we'll step into this life and onwards into eternity. The Bible is a library. Let's read it to find Jesus. Okay. We'll come back to more on that in the coming weeks.